He's in the second book of Kings and in chapter 6. The second book of Kings, please, chapter 6. We're going to read the first 7 verses. The second book of Kings, chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. This is one of the very interesting episodes, and in fact, the story of one of the miracles in the life of this interesting man, Elisha. I want to look at this story very, very simply today, and in relation to your service and mine for God in the local assembly. There are many very interesting points that we can apply in this story, and you will realize that in illustrating our service for God in the assembly here, we're not giving you the interpretation of the portion, but rather we are giving you a simple application that I trust will search all our hearts. I want you first of all to think that there is Elisha, then there are the sons of the prophets, and then there is the ex-head. Possibly the three things that would stand out principally for us in the story. I would like you to think of Elisha as speaking to us of our Lord Jesus. The meaning of his name is God is salvation. The sons of the prophets, I want you here to think of spiritual relationships and of exercise in relation to Elisha. And then the ex-head, I want you to think of it as a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit of God operative in the individual's life. Now, if you look at it like that with me, I think you'll find it interesting, and I would believe profitable. Very quickly, let me look at the background further of the story, and then I'll come to the application. The sons of the prophets here was a spiritual relationship. They weren't the natural sons of Elisha, of course. They had also been associated with Elijah. And you remember in chapter 2 when they saw Elijah ascend into heaven and they saw the power of God that was with Elijah now invested in Elisha, they came and they bowed themselves before Elisha and they said, We be thy servants. And now we read here that they dwelt with their master. They were in fellowship with their master. They were exercised about expansion. Now, I would love to have time to develop all this, but as Brother Eric has said, the clock plays us tricks at times. and I want to get to what I would judge the most important part of my message. But here were a number of men who were deeply exercised about expansion. And brethren and sisters, I think that that should be your exercise and mine in the things of God in the local assembly. I believe that there is no such thing spiritually as maintaining a testimony. I believe that the assembly of God does not stand still. It either progresses in the things of God and in the knowledge of God and progresses numerically, or it goes backwards and the Lord is not glorified. They had desire for expansion. They had also a desire for each other's fellowship. You'll notice the little section where it says, "Let us go." Here were men. Men deeply interested and in fellowship one with another in their desire to see the place where they dwelt grow. And as well as that, they were desirous of the company of Elisha with them. They said here in relation to that, they said, "I pray thee, go with thy servants." Now, brethren and sisters, as we said the other day, if we are going to see expansion in the local assembly, if we are going to see spiritual growth there, there must be a recognition of the Lord in our midst. And so we find this. They desired his company. And we read, "So he went with them." To me, it's a very interesting thought. In verse number 2, it said, "Let us go to Jordan and there take hence every man a beam." Here were these men, and they were individually exercised about the building of the place where their master was going to dwell. And I want you to think that they went to Jordan. They cut down beams. And out of that river of death, there was going to arise a building where these servants could meet with their master. To me, that is a lovely picture. Because, my brethren and sisters, when I think of this beam cut down, I think of the death of the Lord Jesus. And I realize that because of his death, because of the sacrifice of Calvary, there has arisen a church and multitudes of local assemblies, small units of the whole, where the Lord is in the midst of his gathered people and where the Lord is glorified. But now I want you to come to verse number 5. And I want you here to see the picture of a backslider. To me, it's interesting and it's most solemn as well. It says, "But as one of them." Here was an individual man, and I want you to watch him now. Out of that group, there were 50 strong men, at least, maybe more than that, the sons of the prophets. But I want you to think of one of them. And all the things that I've said about the group were true of this man. It says, "But one of them, as he was cutting down a beam, he lost his ex-head. He had the shaft all right in his hand, but the cutting power was gone." And brethren and sisters, I want to apply that first of all to my own heart. And then I want to ask you individually, do we have the power for God that we used to have? Or is it possible that we've lost our cutting edge for God? I could imagine this man I could imagine him, if he had failed to realize what had happened, he could have gone on, and there would have been plenty of activity. But there wouldn't have been any progress. He could have hammered away, but he wouldn't be getting any place. And I want you to think that the work of God in relation to this man anyway, it was at a standstill. He had lost his cutting power for God. You remember Peter had this experience. And I would believe that the losing of that ex-head would have to be a gradual thing. It would work slacker and slacker until eventually it would fall off. You remember in relation to Peter. You remember that Peter, first of all, there was a distance between himself and God. You remember then again that there was the denial of the Lord. And then you remember that disaster followed. Poor Peter, a backslider, disowned the Lord that in reality he loved. My brethren and sisters, if I'm not as keen for God as I used to be, I'm in a backsliding condition. And that does not come suddenly overnight. There has to be, first of all, that distance. My brother's been talking about praying, and I would add the reading of God's Word, the daily meditation. And if I'm not enjoying that, enjoying the Word of God for my own soul, there's going to be that distance between my soul and God. That distance will lead, when circumstances are such, a denial. Oh, maybe not in lip, but in actions, a denial of the Lord that I know and love, until there comes the disaster. But I want you to notice as well that when this man discovered that he had lost his cutting power for God, and I'm using that phrase just to describe it, I want you to notice what happened. He immediately stopped work. Here's a man, and he's going to get things right if he possibly can. And first of all, he immediately stops work. He has no power now. No power to cut down the beams. No power to work with his brethren. He's not going to put on a show and hammer away just with that shaft in his hand. He stops work. And I want you to notice the path of restoration for the man. He's deeply distressed. I want you to notice as well that there was a going to his master. And I believe here is the turning point. He goes to his master. And I want you to notice that he makes an honest confession. He says, "Alas, master, but it was borrowed. It was borrowed." You know, as I thought of that, as I was reading last evening, and I thought of that little statement, it was borrowed. You know, brethren and sisters, I think I realized afresh that all my abilities, such as they might be, they're not my own. My brother, my sister, your abilities are not your own. They have been given to you to be used, as it were they would be but borrowed. Here was a man, and he had lost the ability. to do what he felt he should be doing for his master. He goes to his master. He makes an honest confession. I want you to notice what the master asks. He asks one question. He says, "Where fell it?" And I want you to think of that with me for a little while. You remember Samson. Samson lost his power for God. And if we were to say to Samson, "Samson, where fell it?" You remember, it was a solemn moral situation with Samson. If we spoke to Naomi and said to Naomi, "Away down yonder in Moab, she's out of touch with God and with God's people," you would say to Naomi, using the words of my little text now, "Naomi, where fell it?" And you know, she would go back to that situation when things weren't just so rosy yonder in Bethlehem, Judah. When there was a famine in the land. And you remember when she turned her back on Bethlehem, Judah, and headed for the worldly situation of Moab. My brethren and sisters, sometimes in all our assemblies, there comes the situation when things are not as encouraging as they used to be, or maybe as they should be. But my brethren, young and old, that is no excuse at all for pulling up the roots and leaving and going to some situation that is a little bit easier. Because there came the time when Naomi bitterly regretted her step. And you remember what she said? She said, "I went out full and I've come back empty." What was she saying? She was saying in reality that the famine in Bethlehem, Judah, was better than the plenty in Moab. She said, "I went out full from the famine land, and I've come back from the land of Moab empty." Oh, my brethren and sisters, if things are not as they should be, or as you would desire them to be, young folk, please, you get into the presence of God and desire the Lord's mind in relation to these things. Because it is the first step in backsliding to turn my back on God's place and seek for something that would be easier or would be more pleasant. It was a discontented situation for Moab. But you take a look at that man, Demas, and say to Demas, "Demas, you're in the world. You once enjoyed the fellowship of God's people and some of God's choicest servants. But today you're in the world, Demas. Where fell it?" You remember, with poor Demas, it was a worldly situation. Having loved this present evil world. You remember Lot? You would say to Lot, "Poor Lot, he's lost his testimony, his very family. They just make joke of them, of him. He's lost his wife. Lot, where fell it?" And he would say, "It was when I sat in the gate of the city." It was a political situation with Lot. But my brethren and sisters, let's come down to our own situation. Are you, my dear brother, as useful for God as you used to be in the assembly? Are you the testimony that you used to be in the world, a testimony for God? My dear sister, is your life such that you are a woman in Israel, spiritually speaking? And if not, and I have to search my own heart, we would ask the question, where fell it? And you know, it's very suggestive. The man had to get right back to the very spot where that ex-head disappeared into the water. And I can see him as he says, Master, it was right there that I lost my power. Right there. Oh, my brethren and sisters, this would be a good ministry meeting if we started some heart searching, not pointing our finger at our brethren and our sisters, but searching our own hearts. And if the power of God is not in me as it used to be, in you as it used to be, may the Lord give me grace to ask the question, where fell it? Where did I lose out? And I'm satisfied. And I've proved it again and again in my own soul that I will be able in the presence of the Lord to pinpoint. And that is the first step towards restoration. Was it when you quarreled with your brother? Was it? Was it when you permitted sin to come into your life? And that sin hasn't been judged yet in the presence of God? My brethren and sisters, was it when I stopped maybe attending the weekly prayer meetings and Bible readings? When I got interested in other things rather than the assembly activities. You remember that the tent of Israel was, the camp of Israel rather, was situated right around the tabernacle. It was in the very center of all the activities of Israel. Brethren and sisters, if I'm in fellowship with God, I'm going to love the place where the glory of the Lord dwells. And my activities are going to be circled around that place. It's going to be the center of my life. It's not going to be just a place where I go to on Lord's Day and I could just as easy go further down the street. It's going to be by deep conviction based on the Word of God. This is where the Lord wants me to be. And if I wandered from that exercise, I need to ask the Lord. I need to get into the presence of the Lord and be able to pinpoint and say, Lord, it was there that it's there. That's where I lost my power for God. My last little point, and I've had to leave a lot out. He pinpointed the place. And then there was restoration because of the tree. Elisha cut down a branch. And that branch was cast into the water, likely at the very spot where the ex-head fell. And the ex-head came to the surface. Oh, it was a miracle. And every time there is restoration in the life of a believer, it is a miracle of the grace of God in restoration. Restoration because of the tree, because of Calvary. And my brethren and sisters, I want to conclude this afternoon with quoting those lovely words, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our, my brethren and sisters, have we lost our cutting power for God? Maybe a lot of activity, but no proof that God is working with me and through me. Because I should be able to see proof. Well, I'm not talking about preaching the gospel only and seeing souls saved. Because a lot of activity spiritually could be in the flesh. But brethren and sisters, if I'm in fellowship with God, I'm going to see the power of God working in my life. And like Enoch of old, even while I'm down here, I will have that consciousness that I have pleased God. May the Lord help us. If we confess our sin, thank God there is restoration. And this lovely verse is not for the unsaved, but it is for the believer. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read, and the iron did swim. I can see that man putting that ex-head on again. I can see him being more careful than ever before and checking hourly as he got busy again and cutting down the beam. He was going to watch and the same thing didn't happen the second time. The Lord bless his work. Heavenly Father, we come now in the precious name of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. And our Father, we thank thee for thy word that we have been listening to. We thank thee for this lovely example of service for God as found in the Apostle Paul. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt help us. As Paul could say to others, ye became imitators of us and of the Lord. Help us, Lord, as we read thy word, to imitate these men of God and seek to be used of thee in relation to the local assembly. We ask these things in that worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, just the first verse of 393, and I'm sorry we've kept you 5 minutes over the time. 393, how I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be, channels only, blessed Master. Just the first verse of 393,